We're talking with Dave Grobner, who's the Chief Executive Officer of TM, and he's going to tell us all about jingles. Dave, what does TM Century do?
We're a music-based company, is the easiest way to put it. Depending on what products of ours you use, people have a tendency to think of us as a jingle company or the company that does hit disc and gold disc or the production library company. But in the essence of the company, we're a music company, and we do music-based products for radio, television, advertising agencies, private clients, and we even have a consumer division now.
Well, what if you're a radio station owner and you need a music service? What could TM Century offer?
Everything. That's music-based. Our hit disc product supplies over 6,000 radio stations worldwide every week with all the new releases that come out from all the major record labels and all the small record labels as well. Our gold disc product line is, you know, basically compilation libraries, formatically based, a country library, an oldies library. Of course, we do jingles and station IDs. We do imaging libraries. We do production libraries. We've got a comedy prep service. We do commercial jingles, pretty much anything. As long as it involves music, we do it.
A lot of stations are automated these days, and one section of the formats which needs someone to keep it fresh and up-to-date is the music-based formats. Can TM Century offer anything in the way of a good music service?
Actually, our gold disc library also comes in gold wave and gold drive. Gold Drive is MPEG 2 Layer 2, and Gold Wave is WAV file formats. And it is such the standard in the industry and has been for almost 20 years now that all of the major OEMs have an actual function key on their systems that says Import TM Music. And you can actually take a Gold Drive disc, CD-ROM, that'll have 75, 80 songs on it, plop it into your system, hit one button, and it loads all of the songs with all of the data, everything, in one fell swoop.
All the intros and outros?
Everything. You don't have to do any keystroke entries. All the levels are balanced. I mean, it saves a ton of time. And it's only priced slightly higher than the basic gold disc library. And the cost savings alone that you would realize by not having to rip the audio and hand type in all the information pays for the library itself.
Most of the jingle packages you do, are they syndicated packages or are they custom packages just for one particular station?
Almost all of our syndicated packages begin with a custom package. We're working on packages literally every day of the week for major radio stations. And believe it or not, we hardly ever make money on those packages because they're so incredibly too expensive to produce the first time around. The way you make money in the jingle business is, I guess, kind of like how you make money on television. You know, when Friends is running on the network, it's not making any money. It's losing money. It's when it goes into the back-end syndication is where they make money. And that's the case for us. If we've got a big radio station like WBIG in Washington, we just did a big new oldies package for them. And we probably broke even on the custom version of that for them. Now into syndication, we'll sell 50, 60, maybe 100 radio stations versions of that. And of course, in syndication, you're just going back and redoing the vocals. You don't have to bring in all the musicians again. So, you know, you can afford to, you know, squeak out a little more profit there.
Now, you do a package for, say, WBIG with a W call, and then you do a package for a station in Canada or United States K call sign. How much latitude do you have in the ability to change around the musical arrangement or the call letters or even the slogan?
You know, I have absolutely no idea. I'm tone deaf. I can't read a note of music, and I'm the least technically able guy you've ever met in your life. So why I'm running this company, I have no idea. But the musicians do, and the people that adapt our jingles and produce our jingles never cease to amaze me with the ability that they have to take a package that was sung for a K call at a radio station and redo the vocals to work for a W or for a monosyllabic station like a Z104 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can't adapt all packages. Some packages you just can't adapt for a particular client, but if there's a way to do it and a way to do it where it'll sound good, our guys can do it.
Well, how many different jingle packages do you have available for clients?
Hundreds. TM Century started off in 1952. Was really born writing and producing the first ever radio jingle for Cliff here in Dallas. And the fellow that did it was Tom Merriman, hence the TM of TM Century. And since 1952, I can't even begin to imagine how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of packages that we've produced. And some of them we still offer. Some are so old that they're no longer viable, you know, in the commercial marketplace. Collectors love them, but, you know, most radio stations don't want to run the original package we did for Cliff in 52. Mm-hmm. But I would say that between the TM Century site and StudioDragonfly.com, which is our online discount jingle site, that there's well over 300 packages at any one time that are available.
And when you do a package for a client, can you offer them some extra mixes or remixes of a specific cut just to give them some more variation or production elements?
Yes. On most jingle packages, we do a variety of different mixes where we'll mix the vocals differently. So there'll be a full sing, and then there'll be a sing where we just sing the back end of the jingle or the front end of the jingle or drop out the middle and leave a little donut there. And in the new package we just released, which is a hot AC package, is using what we call our Empower Mix technology. And for the first time ever, we're actually delivering to the radio stations in WAV file format all the discrete tracks. So they can then sit down on their digital editors and edit and mix out the jingles any way they want. They can raise the level of the guitar if they want to, or back it off. They can play with the vocals. They can use just the gals or just the guys or a combination thereof. It's literally as if they were sitting in our main control room mixing their own package. Of course, they get a whole version of the package completely mixed by us, but we also give them all the elements so that they can do with it whatever they want.
Now, when a person buys a jingle, what is the process? Do they listen to a demo and then have to, say, submit lyrics?
Well, yeah, it depends. Sometimes people know exactly what they want, and they'll just walk in and say, I want this package, and this is how I want it sung. Other times we'll be dealing with a program director or an imaging director, and they'll have a particular challenge, and our salespeople here will come up with some suggestions and some ideas. And a lot of people out there are not unlike me. Well, politically correct, we'll say we're musically challenged. So we do have adapters and arrangers, and we'll get them on the phone with a client and help them craft the lyrics that, you know, not only represent what the station is trying to get out image-wise, but work with the body of music as well.
Now, suppose I'm the owner of WFRED Radio, and I'd like to buy a jingle package that sounds like the KFRC package that I heard on your website. How long does it take to turn that around?
It really depends. At TM, we usually turn packages around on average in 3 weeks, but a lot of it depends on how long it takes the radio station to figure out what lyrics they want and what cuts they want. But we're in production 52 weeks a year. With Studio Dragonfly, which is our online discount site, it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get a package produced. But they cost a lot less than if you went through TM Century. And the way that we can do that is if we only have one client this week that needs a jingle package produced, we'll still book a full session and produce it because it's, you know, time is of the essence. With Studio Dragonfly, we don't book sessions until we have enough clients lined up that we can do a full session. So sometimes it'll be every other week before we do a session.
So you might do a package for a country station, then a news station, followed by a hot AC station?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was one day here not long ago where we had groups singing in three different studios, and they were doing three different projects, and one was a real kind of hard rock, edgy sort of solo vocal sound. Mm-hmm. The other was a country package that Janie Fricke was singing on. The country star who actually started her career as a jingle singer here in Dallas. And then in the main studio, they were doing packages for an AC station.
When you do a jingle package, it's obvious that you don't just go into a radio station production room, buddy's garage, or your home in your living room. To produce a product like you sell, you have to have some good facilities. How would you describe TM Century Studios?
Fabulous. The main room where most of the master music is recorded was designed by Russ Berger, who is one of, if not the top studio designer in the world. And again, this is way above my pay grade when they start talking about the acoustics and the microphones they use and where they place particular instruments in that room when they're recording them. But I do know that there's a rhyme and a reason for having a studio of that caliber, and it is reflected in the actual sound. But interestingly enough, one of the things that we're noticing, and this is one of the reasons why we've come out with the EmpowerMix package, is that the technology that most radio stations have now, and a lot of television stations, has changed dramatically. When I first got into this business 25 years ago, you know, you were lucky to have a stereo tape deck, let alone an 8-track tape deck. And if you did have an 8-track analog tape deck, you were the big dog in town. Now, just about every radio station out there has some type of digital audio workstation, allowing them to be able to manipulate multiple audio tracks. Some have very sophisticated Pro Tools setups. Other guys are working on a home PC with a $29 version of DD Clip. So that's one of the reasons why we're now designing our packages to be able to accommodate that technology on the radio station side.
Now, when you record the lyrics, there's obviously a two-step process. That is recording the vocalist, then mixing it back with the music on the vocals. How critical is that function?
Absolutely critical. What singers you have on the package, what microphones they're in front of, how it's recorded makes a huge difference. And then that would be, I guess, akin, the analogy would be to taking a photograph. And getting the camera set up, the right camera with the right lens, looking the right way, the right shutter speed, so on and so forth. But there's a whole other part of the process of photography that takes place after the picture is taken in the darkroom, and that would be analogous to the mixing, where the engineers sit down and they take the final mix and tweak it just right so they get the exact sound that the client's looking for. And it's a real art, and it's certainly nothing that I have any experience in, but I've always been impressed when I've gone down there in the studio and watched these guys do it, because it's a lot of nuance and just subtle little shadings to the music that makes a huge difference in how the package sounds on the air.
I sense that you have a lot of talented people here at TM Century.
We actually have very few talented people here, which is, I think, one of the strengths of this company. And don't end the quote there. We don't have any full-time in-house creative people, with the exception of one guy. One of the ways that we differ from a lot of companies is that we work with a variety of different freelance writers, producers, and composers around the world on our projects. On our jingle packages over the last year, we've probably used 7 different writers for different packages. A couple of the writers we use a lot, some of the writers we use some of the time, and then a couple of the writers we'll just bring in for a very odd session that they happen to have a particular skill set in. We just did, an imaging package for American Urban Radio Networks for one of their syndicated shows, and we needed to have some rap on it. And we actually went down and found some rap guys in Dallas that know the music. I mean, they literally know the music, and had them come up and work on that package to give it a real authentic sound and to make it feel good. In our production library packages, we work with literally over 100 different composers a year. And major guys, our Imagio package, which is an imaging library, is the head producer is a fellow by the name of Rob Bretberg in Los Angeles. And he works with a team of about 12 other sound designers, composers, whose real jobs are working on album projects for the Goo Goo Dolls, Celine Dion, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, Groove Jet. That's where they make their real money, and then they also contribute to Imagio and under the direction of Rob. And you get a very unique, very cutting-edge sound as a result of that. But we have no one single person inside the building that's the musician, the writer, the creative person. We try to bring in as much talent as we can. We try to marry talent with the client's needs. If it's not unlike if you went to somebody and you said, I want my portrait painted. If you came to us, we'd say, well, are you looking for a Monet sort of feel or a Picasso sort of feel? And then based on what the client tells us that they're looking for, we'll find the artist we feel that best meets their needs.
As someone who grew up listening to some of the great radio stations of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, if I came up to you and said, Dave, I really like the jingle package that TM did for WCFL back in the 70s called Plays the Hits. Could you go get Tom Merriman and then strike a score and make a new 2002 version of Plays the Hits?
Oh, sure. Tom is still very active, and he just did a big package for us a couple of months ago, called Swingfire. We wanted to do a morning show package for radio stations that was based on that kind of hot Brian Setzer swing sound. Mm-hmm. And, there's an old adage that you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Well, you can't teach new dogs old tricks. And Tom is just a master, and he's one of the few guys, I think, around anymore that can score that type of music where you have a full brass section and a full swing section and capture the original sound. And, even though I think Tom's probably in his 70s now, he still has the stamina and energy and excitement and enthusiasm that he had when he was 20 years old. He's just fantastic to work with.
How hard would it be to recreate one of those old packages today? Is it possible?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. In fact, another morning show package we did 2 years ago called Summertime is a takeoff of a lot of the Beach Boys summer-sounding pop songs from the 60s and early 70s. And we had a guy here who's a real Beach Boys nut and knew all the arcane in and out minutiae of how they recorded the Pet Sounds album. And they literally went into our studio and used the same type of mic arrangements and same type of vocal setups to capture that same sound that they had on the that style of music that was recorded back then, and approximates it very closely.
If I'm shopping for station IDs, there's other companies out there to do jingles for me. What separates TM Century from all the rest?
Well, I think they're all good companies. Jonathan Wolfert has been in business over at Jam for a long, long time. He has a lot of loyal fans that just love what he does. And there's a lot of companies out there that that do very, very good work. And a lot of it's just stylistic. I mean, there's a certain Jam sound, and if you like that, you're not going to find any place that can do it better than Jam. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like the TM sound and the breadth of our product. I think we offer a much wider product line than other companies do as a result of all the different musicians that we work with over the course of the year. But as most businesses, it has to do with relationships. The pricing between the companies is very similar. I think all the major companies are very good when it comes to customer service. So almost always it comes down to somebody saying, I just like the way this package sounds better.
Do you have clients that, say, purchased jingles from TM Century in 2000, then again in 2001 and 2002, and plan to purchase in 2003?
Not as many as I'd like. There was a day and age, pre-consolidation in radio, where it was not unheard of at all for radio major radio stations to come in every year and spend $50,000, $60,000 on a custom project. And it was just every year, day in and day out. And then consolidation hit, and everybody was looking at the bottom line, and budgets got tightened up, and they just don't have that kind of money to spend anymore. But we do have a lot of clients that have come back for decades to get their packages done here.
Would it be safe to say that the budget side of a radio station, rather than the actual need to have an updated package, is the reason that you don't hear as many jingles on the radio today as compared to, say, 20 years ago?
It depends. I think jingles have a tendency to come into favor and go out of favor over the years with radio. I think that jingles are very important just because of the psychological effect that music has on people's minds. When somebody is trying to recall what radio station they listen to, the more branding that you've done, that's effective branding, that increases the recall of the radio station, the more likely it is that people are going to remember your call letters and write them down in an Arbitron diary. And music is very, very powerful. It's a powerful aid in memory. And you think of the WABC jingles or the KISS jingles or whatever, those logos just get married to your mind. And then when you're sitting at your kitchen table filling out an Arbitron diary, and it's just a sea of call letters and numbers and frequencies out there. And to us in radio, we know what the stations are and who the stations are and who owns them and where their dial position is. But to the average listener out there, it's an alphabet soup of call letters and an abacus of numbers that they just try to sort out, and they can't really remember who or what they're listening to. So the more you can create a strong, mental, powerful brand of your radio station in their minds, the more likely it is that you're going to get an accurate high recall in the diaries. So from an investment standpoint, I think it's something that you absolutely have to invest in. Of course, I have a vested interest in saying that, but if you look at the great radio stations that have been successful for decades in this country, they're typically radio stations that have placed a high emphasis on branding, their radio station and giving it a specific, well-known brand that's easy to recall.
Stations sometimes purchase jingles and then they just don't use them right. They'll play a cut which just does not marry up to the music that they're playing. If you were to recommend something to a broadcaster that would give them the best recall, the best flow, the best sound in the transition from jingle to music, what would you tell them?
Well, what we tell clients is the very first thing they should do is think about how they're using the jingles and why they want the jingles. There's four reasons that people really need jingles on the air, in my opinion. One is recall. Just the musical logo helps you recall the radio station. The second is branding and imaging. If you take a set of call letters and you sing it with a pedal steel guitar and a fiddle, it's going to say country. You take that same set of call letters, that same logo, and you do it with a high-tech electronica, it's going to sound CHR. So it allows you the choice of music that you choose to project an image and create a brand. You know, the third reason would be functionality. When you're trying to launch off a stop set into the top of the hour and you want a real hot launch pad to create the energy and forward momentum, or transition cuts when you're going from a fast song to a slow song. And the fourth element would be benchmarking. People recall radio stations very often by programming elements that are on the station. Oh, that's the top five at five station, or that's the station with Kid Craddock in the morning, or that's the station with Traffic on the Fives. And if that's how people recall your radio station, then you typically would want to have musical elements that embellish that and create that brand in their minds. So we encourage clients to not get so enamored with the sound of the jingle package, but first and foremost, sit down and say, okay, how are we going to use these on the air? Where are we going to use these on the air? When are we going to use these on the air? And then once they know that, then they know, okay, therefore I need these types of cuts. And then they can go into the package and say, okay, I need three of these, four of these, two of these, so on and so forth.
Well, does TM Century also offer help to new PDs and station owners to kind of guide them through the transition process and aid them in getting the right material for the station?
Yeah, although we rarely have a program director that calls us up and says, I'm clueless, help me. It's usually quite to the contrary. But yeah, I mean, we definitely, most of the people that work in our jingle and ID division are all former program directors of major radio stations, and they, you know, they got radio and jingles in their blood, and they certainly understand how they can be used, and it's not uncommon at all that you'll find them getting into conversations with clients back there after they purchased the package about, you know, what do you think about this, what do you think about that, and even though we're not in the programming consulting business, I know that our people from time to time like to offer their opinions on that.
So. Suppose I was a aspiring singer or musician, and I would like to get into working at TM Century. What's the best way to break into the business?
You know, we get a lot of tapes and a lot of CDs every week, and that's probably the best thing. People will just, you know, drop by. We had a fellow once, an odd story, on our commercial jingle division, the jinglebank.com. It was a salesman for IBM, and he came into the building and had no idea what we did and saw the recording studio, and guy had a marvelous voice. And he said, oh, you know, I've always wanted to be a professional singer. I sing at church and stuff like this. And we were actually playing around with a track for Jingle Bank, and we said, well, you know, what the heck? You're here. Why don't you come into the studio and try singing this? And the guy nailed it. And we actually wound up using his voice on that particular jingle. Now, that's very much the exception to the rule, but... Mm-hmm. You know, most companies, and certainly TM Century, are constantly on the lookout for new, fresh talent. And I would encourage any young writer, any young producer, any singer to send their stuff to these companies, because we listen to it and we're always looking for new sounds.
Now, how would you send in a demo? A cassette, CD, reel-to-reel acceptable?
Well, I don't think we've gotten anything on a reel in a long time. We prefer CDs, obviously. Please don't send us MPEGs in the email, because... Boy, I'd get somebody that sends you like a 15-megabyte demo reel, and it wreaks havoc on the email system. But we get a lot of tapes in, and we all listen to them, and we shuffle them around, and we'll make little notes on them. And a lot of people have gotten a lot of work here at our company, particularly vocalists, as a result of that.
Back in the 70s, I made some suggestions to a jingle company in Memphis about a concept for a package, and surprisingly, they used the idea. Does anyone come knocking at your door with an idea for a jingle package?
Well, usually they're clients with money in their hands. Rarely do we create. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, and I can't. Where someone's just come in the door and said, hey, I got this wacky idea, will you produce it? Because the business environment just doesn't allow for that. But one of the things I've always wanted to do is to have a school here at night. We get so many questions from so many people about how do I get into the business and how does the business work? And a lot of these are people that are singing in clubs or, you know, have a home little recording studio. And there's a whole different dynamic on the commercial end of the business, as you need to be able to come in, hit it right the first time. I mean, it's a business that you don't have a lot of time for takes and retakes. So you have a tendency to deal with pros, studio singers that can walk in, sight read, and nail it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you just learn over time. I mean, every one of the singers that we work with, by and large, everyone, are people that started off as some naive young kid that didn't even know which direction to face in the studio, let alone what to do. And, you know, after a few years of doing it day in and day out, you know, they learn the routine and they become pros. And I always thought it would be a great idea to have a class at night where we could teach people how to be studio singers and studio musicians. And at the end of the, you know, the class, they would actually wind up with a professionally recorded demo tape of packages that they could take out as their showreel, saying, hey, I know how to do this. I've learned how to do it the proper way. And here are my goods on this CD.
If you were a pro musician or singer and you wanted to give someone advice about how they should work at TM Century, what advice would you give them?
Knock on the door. Everybody that we work with here all started off, myself included, as some nerdy little kid that was interested in the business. I think that's probably the story for everybody in radio and everybody in music, is they just had a passion, they had an interest, and they went and knocked on the door of the studio and said, hey, you know, I'd like to learn, I'd like to, you know, get involved, and so on and so forth. There's no, you know, secret organization you have to be a member of. There's no, to the best of my knowledge, any, you know, union you have to be a member of. It's, you know, basically you just have to get off your butt, go out to the studios and knock on the door. And I think that virtually everybody I know in this business, I can think of one exception who I won't mention, but everybody else I can think of in this business are competitors. The Jonathan Wolferts of the world, the Tony Griffins, are just great human beings. They're just really, really, really nice people. And they're people I think that at one point in their lives, someone took them under their wing and got them involved in the business. And I think they're very inclined to, when young people come to them seeking advice and input, very inclined to return the favor.
Let's switch gears for a second and talk about the creativity. What is the strangest or wackiest project that you've ever done at TM Century?
Well, we did one for a moose station in Canada that involved having moose calls in it. I remember it was, believe it or not, with all the companies that do sound effects out there, it's kind of hard finding moose calls, but we were able to track those down. That probably is by and far is the strangest one I can think of.
What is the most popular jingle package you sell?
Right now it would be the KVIL's Renaissance package.
103.7 KVIL.
KVIL, as you know, had a very strong musical logo for years, KVIL. And a program director a number of years back, I don't know why, decided to reinvent the radio station and changed everything on the radio station, including the musical logo, which caused the radio station to tumble to the depths of ratings never seen at that station before. And they made some personnel changes and brought in Kurt Johnson, who's a brilliant program director. He programmed LTW in New York at one time. Madison, Wisconsin boy, matter of fact, worked at the same station I did in Madison years ago. And he wanted to get back to the basics of what KVIL was. So we went and produced a new package for KVIL using the old KVIL historic logo and called that package Renaissance. And we can't sing that enough. It's on stations all over the world. They just absolutely love it.
7, let's talk about trends. What formats seem to use jingles?
About half the CHR stations in the country run jingles, and the other half don't. Virtually every country radio station is using jingles, at least in one day part. Probably 90% of the AC stations are using jingles. Almost 100% of the country stations, or excuse me, the oldie stations are using jingles. News, sports talk, you know, use a lot of imaging. The stations that I'm frustrated that I'd like to see use musical imaging are the AORs and classic rockers, which I think I don't hear traditional seven-voice sung jingles on there, but I do think that there's a role for creative music to be used in the branding of those radio stations. But it's such an anathema to those program directors that they won't even listen to you. It's frustrating.
Do you do jingles for television stations?
Yes, we do.
Web broadcasters?
Yes, we do. Yep, we do a lot of .com jingles, and we've done a lot of work for web broadcasters, for networks. We do the music for syndicated shows. When you listen to Casey Kasem and they're singing the jingles there, we do those. We do the music for networks. If you listen to the Associated Press Radio Network, that's our music. If you listen to the Bloomberg Radio Network, that's our music. If you listen to the Sporting News Radio Network, that's our music. And, you know, I could go on and on and on. And we do jingles all over the world in every language that you can think of. You could walk into our main studio and they may be singing in Japanese or German or Latvian or Russian. We just did a package for Jacaranda, that's how I say it. They say Jacaranda in South Africa, and they've got kind of a Dutch Africana sort of, it's a very unique language, and we just sang a package for them. And very often the client will send us tapes of how they want the pronunciation, and almost always they'll either be in the studio for that, or we'll hook them up digitally so that they can guide the singers through the correct pronunciation.
Now, wait a minute. How do you get the singers to sing a jingle in a foreign language if they don't even speak the language?
It's the key to being a professional singer is you need to know how to do that. Very often we'll try to get people that do speak that native language to come in and work on the session. We did a package for a station in Germany, and actually Paul McCartney's half-sister was involved in the project, who speaks and sings fluent German. So she came over to lead the session. And again, it's a little touch of nuances, but a professional singer can sing almost anything.
Chill out, chill out, chill out, chill out with the best. MTV, chill out. It's all about music. MTV on 1016. Слушай, во все уши. Radio Capital, Weekend, Radio 13, 1290.
Jingles are also in the form of commercials. We've all heard McDonald's commercials with music and singing many more. I mean, does TM Century do this type of production as well?
We have a division called JingleBank.com where you can go online, register for free, and there's just scores, myriads of advertising jingles that most are produced by TM Century, but we work with other writers as well whose works are represented on that site. And the jingles there start as low in small markets for a generic jingle as little as $300. And that's for a 99-year lease. And it's a great investment. And I always tell advertisers that, look, if you're paying, pick a number, $100 for airtime on a TV or a radio station, and that's all you're getting for that $100 is just that, you know, 30 or 60 seconds worth of airtime, isn't it worth it to spend another $2, $3 on the creative that goes on there? I mean, it's kind of like, and you see this when you drive around any town in this country, you'll see billboards where the creative is just absolutely lousy. There's like 50 words of copy on there, and you know, you just can't understand what the message is. And right next to it is another billboard that has just a great, powerful, creative message. They're both paying just as much money for the space on those billboards, but the one guy spent a little extra money on getting the right creative on that billboard that actually makes the advertising works. And that's why I, you know, one of the reasons why I suggest jingles, you know, for almost every advertiser out there is it's just a powerful way to improve the quality of your sound. Particularly local advertisers have such a dilemma because, you know, they don't have multi-million dollar budgets. And if your ad is running, you know, with Coca-Cola on one side of you, who spent $500,000 to produce their ad, and McDonald's on the other side of you, and they spent $500,000 to produce their ad, and you're sandwiched in between them, you better sound as good as they do, or you're going to look shoddy by comparison.
Well, what about the variety of music tempo styles? I mean, how much choice does one have?
Hundreds. And clients can do it themselves. We certainly have people here that can help them, but you can actually go online and there's a database there and you can select jingles by business category, by musical style, by intensity. by featured instrument if you want something with an oboe in it, and the little database will pull up all the jingles that match that, and you can listen to quick little snippets of it, and you can actually download full copies of the jingles and play around with them. Obviously, you can't put them on the air, but you can play around with them and see if it really sounds like what you're looking for.
Other than jingles for radio, TV, web radio, and commercials, what other projects have you done? Have you ever done any music scores for, say, movies?
No, well, we haven't done that. A lot of the writers we work with have done that. We've never gotten into that business. We've been a fairly broadcast-centric company. We're now branching out into the consumer end. We have a product called Hula Bear. Don't ask me how we came up with that name, but hulabear.com. And what we've done is gone through and pulled out probably the best of the best production library tracks we have that would make sense for a home consumer that's editing a home video on their computer and wants to add some sound effects or some background music to it. And it's not for broadcast, it's just for home consumers, but they can get those discs for as little as $14.99. And we're starting to see some good sales on those as more and more people become accustomed to, you know, editing their home videos, and they want to add a sound effect, or it's a wedding video, and they want to have some music underneath it or whatever. It's kind of a fun little thing.
And this is kind of like a multi-CD library?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think it's six CDs now, and they can buy one or all six, and people really seem to love it. The home enthusiast market is, I think, a market that's really going to grow for us over the coming years. It's still somewhat of a novelty that people edit videos on their PCs, but the PC manufacturers are trying to come up with a reason to get people to buy new PCs. So they're really pushing this technology of, you know, shoot your movies in digital, edit them on your you know, PC, and then burn them onto your DVD right in your own $600 home computer. And this is a product that dovetails nicely with the advent of that technology in the home.
You folks here at TM Century have really shown those of us here at the National Radio Club that you're a top-notch organization. I'm kind of out of a question, so do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I'd just say that anytime anybody is ever down in Dallas, and if they want to come by and take a tour and sit in on a session, we love to have them come by, even if they're not buying anything. It's always fun to have people come by and see the facilities, and it's always fun to actually talk to broadcasters and get their feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, on our product. So anybody listening to this that happens to be traveling through Dallas, you know, pick up the phone and give us a holler. And if we've got a session going on, or even if we don't have a session going on, we'd love to give you the nickel tour. And we don't even charge a nickel for it.
By the way, before we go, I'd really like to thank you and the singers, Tom the engineer, and your whole staff for a job well done on the WNRC jingles. Gosh, they're great.
Well, it's been fun to work with you guys. It's a dying breed, I'm afraid to say, that the people that are addicted to radio as we are. I'll close with a funny story. A couple of years ago, I decided to take my three sons on a road trip, which I don't recommend you do if you wish to remain sane. But we jumped in a van in Madison, Wisconsin, and drove all the way across the northern United States, went to Washington, saw all the monuments, and then drove all the way back to Dallas and then back up to Madison. And as I was fantasizing about this trip before we went, I had visions of myself sitting in the car, tuning in faraway radio stations late at night and hearing a cool radio station in this small town, or, wow, I just picked up WLS, or I just got WABC. And when I actually got into the car with my kids, the first thing that they did is turn the radio off and turn on their laptop, where they had a bunch of rock songs, and we had to listen to this laptop the whole trip. So the era of radio enthusiast, I'm beginning to wonder if it's waning somewhat among the next generation, the young generation, because they seem to be more excited about, you know, what's happening on the internet and sharing MP3 files than, you know, what I'd experienced when I was a kid and listening to, you know, faraway radio stations or even close stations. When I was I grew up in Westfield, New Jersey, which is a stone's throw from Manhattan. And, you know, when I grew up, there were four television channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. That was it. There was no internet. My only connection to my youth and my culture and other like-minded people was Cousin Brucey and Harry Harrison and Dan Ingram and Ron Lundy on WABC. That was our connection to the culture. And it was our radio station. And it was the only radio station that, as a kid, you'd listen to. You certainly wouldn't listen to WOR. That's what the old people listened to. But nowadays, the kids, for their cultural connection, seem to be more in tune to going on, you know, Yahoo.com and getting into a chat room. And I think that's one of the greatest misgivings I have about radio today, is that none of the stations, I can't think of a single station in the United States that is focusing their programming towards teenagers. And if they're not targeting that youth today, there's going to be hell to pay 20 years from now when they're all mainstream 25, 54-year-old consumers that have no passion or interest in radio.
Okay, now let me just put you on the spot then. What do you think radio has to do to capture listeners and regain its foothold over chat rooms and MP3s?
You know what? Without mentioning any call letters, there are several AM radio stations in Dallas with big signals and next to nothing in terms of ratings. And I would like to see a company step up and put a teen-oriented radio station on, run by teenagers, with teenagers on the air and teenagers making the programming decisions. And, you know, maybe they've got, outbound studios in several different high schools in the area. And, one day the programming is coming from this high school in this town, and the next day it's coming from this high school in this town, or maybe a mobile studio they could take out there. I think teenagers would listen to it in droves. We're still under the misimpression that teenagers left AM radio to FM because FM sounded better. They didn't. You know, teenagers left AM radio to FM because FM was playing more music with fewer commercials and playing cooler music. Mm-hmm. Teenagers right now are listening to audio streams on the internet that are far inferior to what they could get on AM radio. It's the content that counts. And I think if somebody took one of these radio stations and did a teen-based radio station, kind of a FUBU, for us, by us radio station, run by teens, I think they could make not only a ton of money, I think they'd get some good numbers, too.
Actually, it sounds like a good idea. I can see the need, but why isn't that happening?
No one's listening to me. I pitch this idea to so many people, and they roll their eyes, and it's like, get this crazy man out of my office. But I just think it would be hot. And I think sooner or later some radio station is going to do it. You look around this country in almost every market, there's at least one radio station, Big Stick AM, with great coverage and no ratings. They're the third, fourth rated news talk station in the marketplace. And one of these days, someone's going to step up to the plate and say, let's try it. And they will have all of Coca-Cola's money. They will have all of the Gap's money. I mean, there's the U.S. Army. There's so many advertisers that want to reach teenagers, and there's no real viable way other than, MTV and, a few other channels out there where you can really reach a hardcore teen audience. And I think a station that does that can make a lot of money. And by the way, if you're hearing this and you decide to do this, call me because I'd like to do the jingles for it.
What would be the difference between this format and, say, Radio Disney?
Two things I would see as being different. Radio Disney is a wonderful product. It's a tween product. It's really shot for people in their pre-teenage years. And it's also programmed and run by grown-ups. And my vision of teen radio would be targeted at teens, but it would be programmed and run by teenagers. There wouldn't be some 45-year-old guy sitting there looking through a research report saying, hey, I think we need to play this song and not do this. I mean, I think it would be fun to, just let the teenagers, literally run amok.
Kind of like one of those 10-watt college carrier current AM radio stations?
Exactly, like a student station. But with the polish and the power of a commercial station, because I think that's what teenagers really get into is hearing people of their own culture, of their own lifestyle, talking to them, as opposed to you listen to a CHR station and you've got a 35-year-old disc jockey out there talking to, they've got teenagers because they're the next closest thing to what a teenager would want to listen to. But I'm not sure how the teens really relate to those kind of guys. But I mean, I think if they were, stations run by teens for teens, I think that could be very successful, both from a rating standpoint and certainly from a financial standpoint.
One final question to put you on the spot. If Dave Gropner was given a station, you own it, you operate it, you program it, what would you do with it?
Oh, boy, it'd be a smorgasbord because it depends on the time of the day and the mood that I'm in. The sad thing is I've got the Dish Network service at home, and I spend a lot of time watching the 70s channel, which is just, there's nothing to watch, it's just music. But I love the choice of music that they play because they have this very broad rotation, and they'll play a cheesy Barry Manilow song and then follow it up with Joan Armatrading, and it's like, wow, you'd never hear that on commercial radio. So I think it would be very cool, and certainly the technology is going in this direction where people will be able to program their own radio stations that There are some systems out there like Live 365 that kind of allow you to do that a little bit, but the technology is very, very cumbersome. But I think ultimately you'll come up with a system where people will be able to sit down and program exactly what they want when they want it. They'll be able to go in and say, I like to hear this song a lot. I'd like to hear this song never. I care about news, I only care about news that affects my neighborhood or my interest. You know, I really don't care whether or not the Texas Rangers are doing well this year because I'm not a baseball fan, but I'd like a lot of football news. Mm-hmm. And there are technologies out there that would allow for that right now. I think it's funny, you know, when you listen to WBAP here in Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth is a huge geographical area. And when I get in my car, I like to hear the traffic report, but only on the road I'm going on. I don't care what the traffic's like over in Fort Worth. So when they start doing the traffic report for Tarrant County for Fort Worth, I turn it off. I think it would be great, and I think this technology will happen where there will become a day when you get into your car and your car systems will know that you're going to work because it's 8 o'clock on a Monday morning and there's a 99% chance that at 8 o'clock on Monday morning, if this guy's in his car, he's going there, and it'll just give you the traffic report for just the roads that you're going on. And that's one of the challenges that radio is going to have to take into consideration in the future is personalized radio when you go from the sense of broadcasting to the sense of narrowcasting, where you're not broadcasting just for a small demographic, but you're broadcasting, that's the wrong word, but you're broadcasting for one particular individual's tastes. But as long as we live in a country like we do, and as long as events like 9/11 happen and severe weather happens and college and high school football happens, there will always, in my opinion, be a place for local broadcasters, always be a place. And my advice to every broadcaster out there that's listening to this is local, 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 local. Don't try to sound like New York. Try to sound like your hometown.
If someone would like to get in touch with you, how would you suggest they do that?
Oh, they can email us, they can snail mail us, they can call us. So the email address is tmci@tmcentury.com. The web address is www.tmcentury.com, and there's a Contact Us button there that has pictures and phone numbers, direct dial phone numbers and emails of just about everybody in the company. And, you know, it also has our street address here in Dallas.
Dave Grapner, CEO of TM Century in Dallas, Texas. And now you know just about everything you need to know about jingles.